Welcome back to our Let's Talk Dallas County program, brought to you by Perry Fairway. Always fresh, always affordable. And on the phone today, I am speaking with Senator Sarah Trone Garriott. And Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're absolutely welcome. I want to get started here, the conversation revolving around the governor's condition of the state address, laid out a plan for shifting how the AEAs are going to be funded, establishing oversight for them, and that the school districts are no longer required to use only AEA services. The Republicans are saying that the intention is not to get rid of the AEAs. I just want to know, what is your take from the governor's proposal as well as the Republican standpoint of not getting rid of that organization?
So the proposal that has been filed in the House and the Senate now completely undermines and dismantles the AEAs. There's three buckets that the AEAs were created to address: special ed, educational services, and media services. And so the governor is proposing cutting educational and media services. Doesn't sound like such a big deal, but there's a lot of really valuable teacher supports, training resources, curriculum, all kinds of things under these other two categories. And under educational services is mental health. So the governor is actually proposing cutting really important mental health supports for our schools. And I think I might have mentioned this before, when the shooting at Perry occurred, the AEAs have a crisis response team that is implemented in the state whenever there's a student death, a teacher death, traumatic incident. They had 50 people on the ground that day, and they will be there for weeks to come. All of those services are proposed to be cut. And then the fact that the governor's allowing schools to opt out of the special ed services means that there's going to be less resources for all of the other schools. So you've got one big school in an AEA area, and they pull out, and then you end up having a lot less for all of the small rural schools to have resources and support for their kids. It really undermines the whole thing. And the governor's proposal allows school districts to change their mind every year. So it's going to make it impossible for AEAs to even know how many staff they can have, let alone need, to serve the community. And when the governor proposed increasing teacher salaries, well, she put that in this bill. So she is cutting at least $70 million statewide out of the AEA budget. It just disappears. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go to any schools. It's just gone. And then it's going to cut a lot of other resources for schools as well. So schools are losing. The AEAs are losing. And then she's saying, and then we'll pay teachers more out of this bucket, and doesn't really explain how that's going to happen or how that money is going to consistently be there year after year. It's really unpopular. We've had tons of folks reaching out. The advocacy is working. It's making an impact because in the House and the Senate, legislators are really reluctant to move it forward as it's written because it's a really bad idea.
Well, you just mentioned, kind of stumbled into my next question pertaining to the teacher's salary and Governor Kim Reynolds wanting to do the increase to a certain years of experience level. Can you kind of go more in depth about what, if you see any preliminary implications from that kind of proposal?
There's a real problem with how the governor is putting this policy forward. We want to increase teacher salaries, but we've got to do it in a way that money's going to be there in the future and continue to support educators as they gain an experience. Putting it in this AEA bill, it just seems like a way to try to get it to pass, but it seems like they're going to cut on one end and pay out of that cut for the increase. So you can't rob Peter to pay Paul. They need to be separate proposals, and we need the governor to explain more clearly how we're going to fund it, because we don't have a clear sense of where this money is going to come from and if it's going to be there in the future, because you can't do it one time. You got to keep doing it year after year.
No, absolutely. Pertaining to the governor's condition of the state address, were there any other takeaways that stuck out to you that you wanted to mention?
The governor talked about expanding postpartum coverage for Medicaid to 12 months. And this is something that if a mom is on Medicaid, she qualifies for Medicaid to cover her pregnancy, which is really important because births are expensive. We want to make sure they go well. You've got to have health care. Medicaid only covers for 2 months now. And so the federal government offered us an expansion. It's a lot of money coming from the federal government to do this, but it does require something of our state. A lot of other states have done it. Almost every other state, honestly, have done something, and we have not done anything. So the governor said she's going to do the expansion, but there was a catch. She is actually going to drop the qualifying income level for everybody. It's going to kick more than 1,000 women, Iowa women, off of coverage for their birth, which is really bad when you think about how much a birth costs. We want to make sure that people are covered so they get to the doctor, births are healthy, so they get the care they need, and so that those hospitals can pay their bills and we can have those birthing units in our communities so that people have somewhere to go when they're having a family. We've been talking to her about this because we can't turn around and hurt a bunch of people. We have this opportunity to expand it and serve a lot of Iowa families and make sure that we reduce our infant mortality rate and our maternal mortality rate. Both are rising in Iowa, and that's not okay. We want Iowa to be a safe place to have a baby, and that starts with healthcare.
Speaking with Senator Sarah Trone Garriott, and I just want to get your take on the appeal from the state attorney general's office on the federal injunction that blocked a portion of a new state law that bans books that depict sex acts from school libraries and in the classroom.
I don't know why we told the governor, the majority party, this bill was going to be challenged in court. It was poorly written. It was a bad idea. It was unconstitutional. There were all these problems with it because it is incredibly vague and it's hard to implement, and they wouldn't give any guidance to schools. And so the courts put it on hold. So I don't know why the governor's administration continues to fight for this. We've got more pressing issues right now. We need to focus on the people in our communities, keeping them safe, keeping them healthy. This is a waste of our taxpayer resources, and it's already pretty clear that it was a real bad idea. We have protections in place. We have processes in place. We can always improve those. Let's talk about that rather than these vague, confusing pieces of legislation that get everybody all riled up.
Are there any other bills or subject matter that you wanted to cover today?
We had a bunch of firefighters visit the Capitol this past week. And I know that for firefighters, there's a lot of risks involved in the job. But what they told us when they came is one of the major on-the-job risks for firefighters is an increased risk of dying from cancer. There's a lot of toxic chemicals that they encounter, bad smoke, all kinds of things that they're exposed to when they're trying to save lives and protect our communities. And that is an occupational hazard that we need to address. Some of our pension programs, health insurance for our first responders, are not covering all of the cancer diagnoses that we see. And I believe it's 63% of line of duty deaths for firefighters are from cancer. So we just had a firefighter in West Des Moines pass away from a liver cancer that wasn't specifically identified as a work-related death because of the type of cancer it was. And so we need to make sure when these folks are putting their lives at risk for us, that we're there for them when they need help, when they need support. And it's really the least we can do. So there isn't a bill in the Senate to specifically do this yet, but we're pushing our colleagues to reach out to your legislators and tell them you want to step up for first responders, that we can do more for them, and ask them what they're going to do. And if you don't know who your legislator is, Google who is my Iowa legislator and just share what matters to you, because we need to hear from people in Iowa. We do a much better job when we do.
Absolutely. And what is the way to get in touch with you for any questions?
So I'm the only Sarah in the Senate. I'm Sarah Trone Garriott. So if you Google my name or look at the legislative website, you'll be able to find my email and my contact. But you are all welcome to give me a call. 515-661-9679. Glad to visit with you and help you find what you need assistance with.
That is our guest for today on our Let's Talk Dallas County program, Senator Sarah Trone Garriott. Thank you so much, Sarah. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. You as well. Again, our Let's Talk program brought to you by Perry Fairway. Always fresh, always affordable.